With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. If you couldn't produce a pay stub or a tax return to show income, think you could convince a lender to let you borrow money? Well, it turns out many lenders have no problem with that. We'll compare and contrast that scenario to the run-up to last decade's housing crisis in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. Americans are in favor of Medicare for all, but they're less in favor of it if it means higher taxes. That's the result of a poll from the nonpartisan Kaiser Family Foundation. 56% of those polled favor Medicare for all, a common theme among many Democratic politicians and presidential candidates. And that number swells to 71% support when people were told that Medicare would guarantee health insurance as a right. But that number drops to 37% when the tax liability is raised, and support is even lower when the idea of potential delays in care is raised. And Hulu is lowering the price for its least expensive subscription plan while raising the cost of its live TV offering. Hulu's basic plan lets users stream TV shows with ads, but doesn't include live sports and news. That'll drop from $7.99 per month to $5.99 per month starting on February 26th. The move comes a week after Netflix said it would begin charging users more for each of its plans. The housing market is going back to the future. It wasn't that long ago the meltdown was due in part to lenders bringing on borrowers with incomplete financial profiles that might otherwise prevent them from getting loans. Well, lenders are going down that road again, and Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Eisen is here with us with some details. So, Ben, in some cases, lenders are giving approvals when people can't produce tax forms or even a pay stub to verify their income?
Yeah, this is a type of loan. It's an unconventional type of loan. It's called a non-qualified mortgage. And that encompasses a wide variety of mortgages, but one that's particularly popular is the type that's given to people who don't have pay stubs, they don't have tax forms, perhaps they own their own business or they have a side job or they're retired. So instead they provide bank statements that allow them to qualify for the mortgage, or they can use their assets to do that. And this sort of enables them to get around some of the traditional things that kind of block people out from the mortgage market.
As you point out in your story, these unconventional loans make up less than 3% of all mortgage originations. They made up less than 3% in the first three quarters of last year. That number is rising, though, while the traditional home loans are declining.
Right. It's important to note that this is a very, very small part of the market right now. And when you're kind of looking back to these types of mortgages before the crisis, those were way more popular then than they are now. The reason it's notable is because it has been growing during a time when the rest of the market, mortgage market is getting a little bit cooler. You've seen kind of a boom in housing over the last many years, but as rates have started rising, it's made mortgages more expensive. So you've seen purchase mortgages cool off a little bit. You've seen refis basically stop being done altogether because it's no longer beneficial to do so. And now you have lenders who are looking for new business kind of starting to eye this group of borrowers that perhaps weren't able to get mortgages before.
You know, but these unconventional mortgages, they don't meet the criteria to be backed by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. Isn't that enough of a red flag that we've seen how this can lead to instability in the housing market?
I mean, it's not necessarily a red flag if you have safeguards in place. So you might use bank statements to verify that you do have an income. And then if you have a high FICO score and you're willing to put down a lot of money as a down payment, that might be enough for a lender to say, okay, we're comfortable making this loan. I think where you get into trouble is you have what folks tended to call the liar loans, you know, during the financial crisis, where you had people who basically just stated what their income was, didn't provide any documentation to show it, and it turned out they were lying and couldn't make payments on their mortgages. Here, I think, at least what we've seen so far, there's a lot more caution.
And there's a backstop of sorts in place here. Borrowers in these situations have to pass an ability to repay test. But some in the industry that you spoke with for your story say that might not be enough.
Right. You have all of these post-crisis rules put into place, including the ability to repay rule. Most folks would agree that the underwriting standards are stronger, and there's just more caution that's gone into these loans so far. I think what worries some people is that, okay, you have this market starting to open up again, And as you get more lenders in the space and you get more competitions to make these loans, then you start to see kind of the slippery slope of the standards starting to deteriorate. And I think many would say that it's not before the crisis, you didn't necessarily have liar loans as kind of the first type of loan that was being made. It was that you had more cautious loans being made, and over time, the underwriting standards started to deteriorate. So I think people are just kind of on guard to make sure they don't happen like that again.
Well, you see, that leads me to my next question, is that who or what is overseeing all this and could potentially sound an alarm if it looks like these types of loans could potentially be contributing to the housing market, like possibly going off a cliff again?
I mean, you have a patchwork of regulators, but one thing that I think has changed in the years since the financial crisis is that a lot more loans these days are made by non-bank lenders, and they don't necessarily have all of the regulatory oversight that that the banks do. So that's one area of concern that people have talked about, not just in this part of the market, but generally across the market, that you've had this growth of non-bank lenders. That said, you have seen the bank regulators seem to be keeping an eye on it. You had the OCC in one of their reports late last year. They pointed out this type of loan called an asset depletion loan, which basically calculates your ability to repay based on your assets rather than your income.
So they're trying to track all this.
Yeah, they just pointed out we've seen some of this being done, and mm-hmm. not all of the underwriting standards are necessarily consistent, and they just wanted to sort of flag that. So you do have some oversight of it, and it's something that I think folks will continue to watch.
Okay. That is Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Eisen here in our studio. Ben, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.